Beginning of our parsha, Daber Hashem, Daber al Aron v'yomarte lov v'haloischeas haneirais al mul pnei amenorah ya'iru shivas haneirais. Haloischeas haneirais, as you bring up the lights opposite the pnei amenorah, the shivas haneirais, the seven lights should be lit. The seven lights of the menorah. The mitzvah here of v'haloischeas haneirais, it's curious. We've had already a discussion of the menorah when we talked about the building of the Mishkan. We had a discussion of the menorah as well in detail in Parshas Emor amongst the mitzvahs where we give the mitzvah of lighting the menorah. But here again we have the mitzvah of v'haloischeas haneiros, and it's something which requires explanation. Rashi gives an explanation which is certainly an explanation, but it raises a lot of questions at the same time, and we're going to not focus so much on Rashi's explanation here. Rashi says that the idea was that Aaron felt bad that in the end of last week's Parsha, all of the Nesiim, all of the leaders of the various Shvatim of the tribes of the Jewish people participated in the Korbanos to dedicate the Mishkan. But Levi, and Aaron as the leader of Shevet Levi, did not have the opportunity to participate. So Hashem said, don't worry, you get to light the menorah. Shalcha gedolah mishalahem. Your portion is even greater than theirs. What exactly Rashi is referring to, Ramban probes it a little bit, has a very important and creative pshat that goes along with it. But it's on a midrashic level, of course, very significant, but in terms of something a little bit more direct, it's a little difficult to understand. It should be noted that there's a little bit of a parallel here to something that we find in Parshas Tetzaveh. We know that in Parshas Truma we had all the instructions about the building of the Mishkan, and then in Parshas Tetzaveh we move on after everything about the Mishkan is built, and we're used to really focusing on the selection of the Kayanim and bringing forth Aaron HaKayan and the construction of the Big Day Kahuna for Aaron HaKayan. That's usually what we think. Truma is to build the building, and Tetzav is to clothe the Kayan Gol and the Kahanim, which is the bulk of what the Parsha is about, but it starts with a few psukim. You should instruct the Jewish people that they should bring to you pure olive oil for the menorah. And it goes on to tell us where the menorah should be lit, from evening to morning. So again, we need to understand here also, it sort of singles itself out. The mitzvah of lighting of the menorah singles itself out to be put in, you know, after the construction of the whole Mishkan. We describe here the lighting of the menorah, how the lighting of the menorah, taking the oil for the lighting of the menorah. In a certain way, it's also singling itself out here. What is the idea behind it? The Ibn Ezra, in the beginning of our parsha, says something very significant and fascinating. He says that, you know, in the end of last week's Parsha, in Parsha's Nasa, after it described the building of the Mishkan, it describes when Moshe Rabbeinu came into the Eil Moed to speak with Hashem, he heard the voice of Hashem from above the lid of the Orin Ha'edus. And then it says, Daber el Aron, and speak to him about lighting the menorah. Says the Ibn Ezra, the reason why this parsha about the menorah is put right next to the previous one, Lohira, is to teach you. We just spoke about Hashem speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem will speak to Moshe Rabbeinu at night as well. Because the candle will be lit there, the lights will be there, and they will not be extinguished. So because of the presence of the light of the menorah, that will make it that they will be able to have the dibur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will speak to Moshe Rabbeinu at night as well. In other words, the idea of the mitzvah of the menorah was to bring light that should allow the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to continue to be there even in the nighttime. The Ramban quotes this Ibn Ezra, and he says, "V'zeh einenu koch al das rabbeisenu." It doesn't seem to be consistent with what Chazal said. She'omru ha'alei nidbarim ha'ela b'ayayim. Chazal say Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu only during the day. V'ilu yoda Rabbi Avram ma bein nevuas Moshe le'nevuas shar nevi'im le'choshav kein. If the Ibn Ezra knew the difference between them, between Moshe Rabbeinu and other prophets, which of course is delineated at the end of this week's parsha, lo yichashav kein, he wouldn't have thought so. V'umash amar akosuv v'amaroi lo v'esvada b'chaloyim adaber b'loichein avdi Moshe. She'en v'uasei b'chaloyim. His Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy was not in the dreams. Ki achaloyim b'layla, dreams are at night mamish. Right, and the idea was that Moshe Rabbeinu did not have his dreams at night, and it seems that the Ramban is taking issue with the Ibn Ezra that requires somehow light for the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, so that Moshe Rabbeinu would be able to have it. Kishami aner dalek, that it should be that there would be dibur gam b'layla. That that's maybe not the case. That Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have nevuah balayla. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have prophecy at night. He had it specifically in the day, as Chazal say. And, maybe others had nevuah at night. It's not 100% clear the nature of the Ramban's objection to the Ibn Ezra. But what the Ibn Ezra, to some degree, is saying, and this is the way it's understood, is that it's true that nevuah had to take place during the day. However, there's God-made light and there's man-made light. And the menorah was to create an aura which was day-like. Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu during the day by the light of the day. But when the menorah was lit in the Mokem HaMikdash, so that created light that would allow the same thing to be able to happen. Meshech Chochma quotes the Ibn Ezra in the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, and he says that perhaps this is a basis for a ruling of the Sma. The Sma was one of the main meforshim of Shulchan Aruch Hashem Mishpat, of the part of the Shulchan Aruch that deals with the laws of judges and monetary law. And the Sma says the rule is normally judgment is only supposed to take place during the day. But if it's nighttime and they have a well-lit chamber, then they can judge even at night. So, similar to this, Moshe Rabbeinu maybe only had nevuah during the daytime, but with the light of the menorah, he was able to do it at night as well. That kind of an idea, a man-made light.
Rabbi, does that have anything to do with a menorah in shul?
We do it a little bit to remember the menorah of the Mikdash. Yeah, a little bit in the near tumet to remember the light of the menorah. Okay, so that's an idea, to create the menorah, to create the light which is there. I want to perhaps take this idea from just the, one might say, the almost this practical approach, though certainly the way the Meshech Chochma is spinning the Ibn Ezra, to try to look at this a little bit more, with a little bit more of a deeper understanding of the important role which the menorah and the lighting of the menorah plays here in the building of the Mishkan. The menorah was for the Jewish people to create light in the Mikdash. Chazal speak in several places about the surprise here. V'chila ayra hu tzarech. Does Hashem need in the Mishkan, which is the home of Hashem, does He need us to turn on the lights for Him? Chazal answered that question. The most famous version of Chazal, which is quoted by Rashi in Chumash, is rather that it's Eidus Hi Shashchina Shoreh B'Yisrael. The menorah wasn't there to provide light. The menorah was there as a testimony that the Shechina is resting amongst the Jewish people, because the light of the menorah stayed on through the night, even in the long and through the day, through the following day, and it didn't matter, you know, whatever the amount of oil that was put into it. There was a chronic near Chanukah that they had, Nes Chanukah that they had through the light of the menorah. It testified to the presence of Hashem within the Jewish people. That's again an answer which Chazal give. But the question, b'chil oirahu tzarech, does Hashem need our light, is, could be understood on one level in the most mystical sense, which is, because imei nahayra sharya, our notion is that with Hashem, Hashem is the ultimate source of light. With Hashem, there is always light. So we need light to be lit by the person in order to be able to illuminate the house of Hashem. Hashem is the source of light. You know, in the Bayis, in the Beit HaMikdash, it says that they made chalonos, they made windows that were shkufim atumim. What does that mean? It means that normally, if you wanted to make a window to illuminate a house, so, right, we're used to just having plain, simple windows, but if you wanted to, you know, architecturally do it, that people couldn't see in so well, but you would light up the house. So what they would do is, they would have a window which was a crack on the outer surface of the wall, and then it widened as it comes into the house. So the light comes in, and then diffuses within the house. In the Mikdash, they had windows like that, except they were backwards. They were narrow on the inside, and they got wide on the outside. What's the idea? Because instead of the Mikdash requiring light from the outside, the Mikdash actually was spreading light to the outside. The Mikdash was the source. Imei Nahayra Sharya, the light comes with the Rabbona Shel Olam. Ki biyar panecha nasata lanu Hashem Elokeinu, by the light of your face you gave us everything good, Tiras Chaim, Avas Chesed, and so on and so forth. So we want the light to come out of the Mikdash, instead of the light having to come in order to be able to build up the Mikdash. Because Hashem is the source of light. But it goes even one step further. Or we can see the fact of Hashem as the source of light in a simple step. When Hashem created the world, the first stage of creation was Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim es haaretz. In the beginning, Hashem created the heaven and the earth. It doesn't say Hashem said, let there be a heaven and earth. Hashem at that point created what we call yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. Previously, there was nothing there other than Hashem. Hashem allowed heaven and earth to come into existence. He allowed something else to exist besides for himself. Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim es haaretz. The first statement which Hashem makes, which we have as an explicit statement of Bria, which comes after heaven and earth are already in existence, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is starting to form it, as it is explained in the Rishonim. In the beginning, the notion of Shemayim V'aretz was V'aretz Ha'isasayu V'avayu V'choshech Al Penei Sa'om. The earth was emptiness and nothingness with darkness on the face of the depths. That basically what Hashem had just created in the first time was just the chomer, just the undeveloped matter which would make up heaven and earth. Now something else existed. But when it came time for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now with his mamores, with his statements, with his explicit statements, Bereishis Nami Mamarhu, but it's a hidden statement, with his explicit statements, Vayomer, Vayomer, which he's going to do through the 6 days of creation, that's Hashem taking that gob of the matter of the earth and forming it into something. And putting his signature on it, putting his form and his shape on it. What was the first thing that Hashem did? What was his first creation? What was his first act of putting on surah, of putting on form into that which was the world? Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. And Hashem said, let there be light. That was the first creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in truth, we go and we understand, well, could that light really mean light the way we know it? We say, it can't mean light the way we know it. Because on the fourth day, what did Hashem create? He created the sun and the moon and the stars, the ma'ayrais, the luminaries, the things which provide light. So we say, how do you create light before you create the things which provide light? Okay, so there are different answers to the question, but one of the classic ones is what Rashi brings, that this R was a different quality of light. Yes, our only thing to represent it in this world is light.
you know, light. But it was a different quality of light. It's the or that Hashem, the or, the light of Hashem, the or that Hashem had to put away for another world and another time, the or Hagonos, the hidden light of the original time of Bereshis. The light which we hope will be restored one time in the future to us as we daven every day. Or Chadash al Tziyon Ta'ir v'nizkechu lanu me'erol yareh. You'll have a new light onto Tziyon. But all of these things, they all show, they illustrate Ayr as being the first imprint of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this world, perhaps the perfect, the classic imprint, because of the strong association which we create really as a result between Ayr and Hashem Yisbarach, between the light and Hashem Himself. And this is a metaphor. The Ayr is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ba'ar Panecha Ya'alechon, and so on and so forth, which is very commonplace. Very commonplace, even in Tanakh, in the writings of Chazal, in the writings of Rishonim, the Ur means so much in that respect. So come along, the Jewish people, and we have a mitzvah, and the mitzvah is that we're supposed to build a Mishkan. We're supposed to build a Mishkan. And the Mishkan, as we know, as we've discussed before, the Mishkan itself is sort of a human project of Tavnis Shamayim V'aretz, of heaven and earth. Hashem created the world in 6 days, the heavens and the earth on 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested. We commemorate that by keeping Shabbos. How do we commemorate it by keeping Shabbos? We also stop working. What work do we stop doing? We stopped doing the work which we did to create the Mishkan. Right? The 39 malachas of Shabbos are learned from the 39 categories of work which were used in order to create a Mishkan. Because creation of the Mishkan is the human counterpart to Hashem's creation of Shamayim V'aretz, of heaven and earth. We created a heaven and earth model, a concentrated version of heaven and earth that was ours to create, that was the building of the Mishkan. So that's what we did. That's what Hashem told us to do. And in a sense, the first thing after we create the heaven and earth is get the oil to light the menorah. Lihi ar, let there be light. We read about the Chanukah Sanasim, about the Nasim dedicating the Mishkan. They brought the korbanos to get the thing started. But now that the thing is getting started, we turn to Aaron and we say, Yihi Or, V'haloyzches haneres, el mul p'nei ha-menorah yirushivas haneres. Turn on the light in the Mikdash. It's not usual for us to have to light the Mikdash of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, as we are seeing here, it's usual for light to be the beginning of that which happens in the Mikdash. So now let's try to look at this on a second stage. Okay, so summarize where we are. First stage of our discussion is that we have here the creation of the light as the lighting of the menorah as something which is done by the Jewish people, done by Aaron HaKohen at the beginning of the building of the Mishkan. And we've seen how the first level is that light is something which is so connected to Hashem Yisbarach, so connected to the Rabbanu Shalom, so much at the beginning of Hashem creating His own version of heaven and earth. And so when it comes to the building of the Mishkan, of Hashem's home that we build, so we also have this notion of the Ur having a dominant place at the beginning of the appearance of the Mishkan. An Ur corresponding to the Ur Hashem. That will be the first phase. But we still have the second part of the question, second part of the issue, which is that this is the house of Hashem, and Hashem is the source of all light. And if that's the case, why are we lighting the menorah for? Right? The question which Chazal asked, does Hashem need our light? What kind of a thing is it? Again, Chazal expressed it in different ways. All the 40 years that the Jewish people traveled in the Midbar, Hashem held the candle, held the fire, Amud HaEsh, before them. And here we're building the Mishkan, and we're the ones who are turning on the light. What is it? How do we understand? Fire in the Mishkan is significant. Beyond the light of the menorah, we also have the fire that was on the Mizbeach. The fire that was on the Mizbeach. The fire on the Mizbeach outside, just like the light of the menorah never really went out, though the Nirma Ravi was there to be lit all the time. In a similar vein, the light on the Mizbeach, loisichbe, it didn't go out. The fire that was there on the Mizbeach was, as we learn in Parsha Shmini, a fire which came from Hashem to consume the korbanos that the Jewish people had offered on the Mizbeach. Remember the story on the 8th day of the Miluim, they brought the korbanos, Moshe and Aaron went in, and a fire came out from Hashem to consume the korbanos. That fire on the Mizbeach is, in a sense, that's the baseline fire. That was the beginning of the whole thing, of the Eish al HaMizbeach. It's true, Chazal teach us, even though the Eish is Yared Min HaShemayim, even though the fire came down from the heavens, there was still a mitzvah Lahavi Min HaHedi. There was a mitzvah to add to the fire from a human creation. But the fire for the Mizbeach was a fire which descended from the heavens, dramatically. That's one fire, a divine fire that kept on burning. And then there's another fire, another divine fire that keeps on burning, which is the fire of the menorah. But the fire of the menorah is the inverse of the fire of the Mizbeach. The fire of the Mizbeach is primarily the fire from above. And we say, the fire comes down from heaven, but you should bring from down here too. The fire of the menorah is very much something which we're supposed to do. You're supposed to do it. Aaron HaKohen was the one who was supposed to light the menorah. And, wow, he lit the menorah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the light go on. Made the light, what I mean go on, mean continue. Made the light be able to continue. It starts not with a dramatic spark of fire from above. It starts with lighting a fire from down here. But then, it takes on a life of an Eish Min HaShemayim, of a divine fire. It's the reverse. It's the reverse of the one which we have outside. This, evidently, is part of the Yihi Or that the human being is supposed to accomplish. The Yihi Or, let there be light, that is not something which is brought by Hashem, but a light which is instead brought by us, brought by the people. B'haloyscha es haneiros. It's something that we are supposed to do. We're supposed to bring this Eish Min HaHedit. We're supposed to light this fire. And it's supposed to again transform as a result into something else. What's the contrast? Let's talk about the Eish al HaMizbeach. The fire in the Mizbeach and the fire of the menorah. You know, before there was a Mishkan, there was a Mizbeach. When Hashem came to the Jewish people at Har Sinai, there was a Mizbeach. When Hashem finished His instructions to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, so He gave an instruction and He said, Mizbeach Adamah Tasali, you should make for Me a Mizbeach Adamah, a Mizbeach of earth, and if you make a Mizbeach out of stone, this is how I want you to make it. It was an instruction that was before any instruction about a Mishkan. When we learned at earlier times, at other times, about the building of the Mishkan and those psukim, we learned as well a notion, which is that the post-Matan Torah, maybe there wasn't even an idea of the Jewish people building a Mishkan. The building of the Mishkan may have been a project which came only after the Maaseh HaEgel. Right? Rashi gives such a chronology, even though Teshuvim and Tetzaveh taught before the Egel, but really they were instructed to Moshe Rabbeinu after the Egel, after Yom HaKippurim. And many understand, it's a stream of opinion in Chazal and in the Rishonim, that we weren't going to build a Mishkan. Hashem's presence would have not been contained by a Mishkan. It would be like any place. Wherever my name is mentioned, I will come to you and bless you. But there was always a Mizbech. There was a Mizbech before there was a Mishkan. There was a Mizbech of Adam HaRishon. There was a Mizbech of Kain VeHevel. There was a Mizbech of, or maybe there was, we don't have a building of Mizbech described. We have a Mizbech of Noach. We have a Mizbech of Avram Avinu, and of Yitzchak Avinu, and of Yaakov Avinu, and of Akedas Yitzchak. We have Mizbechais which are built by us all the way. Before we build a house, before we build a building for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The menorah is a tool which comes in after you have the building of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The building that we build for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to, you know, the Ra Mizbeach that Hashem says, I'll come to you, Avei Lecha Verachticha. Here, the building that we build for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something different. It's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you will create it and I will come. Har Sinai was there. Hashem brought His fire down on the mountain. This, you will create it and I will come. That's the tzura, that's the nature of Mishkan. As we said before, it's our version of building heaven and earth. And at a certain point in time, a certain juncture, Hashem instructed us that this should be what we would do. We would go there to create the forum for the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we would create the oyer that would be there for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that would go along with it. This is the mitzvah. I'm repeating myself a little bit, I apologize. This is the mitzvah. This is the nature of the instruction that we have here. This esh which is bum in ahedit, this fire which comes from below, which comes from the head, with something which we create. As we're reading here in Baha'u'llah Yisrael, and we'll go on right there about the parsha of the Leviim, all of the instructions, they all come around the idea of the Mishkan being built, surrounding the Egel, surrounding the story of the golden calf. The whole notion of the Leviim's ascendancy is because of what the Leviim did, as opposed to what the Bechayrim and the rest of the Jewish people had done at the Egel Hazav. All of the things you'll have as you continue in the first Aliyah, where it describes what was done with the Leviim, Rashi says, well, because Avodah Zarah, there was a sin of Avodah Zarah of the Egel, and so they had to be treated like a Mitzayra, because Avodah Zarah is like a mace, and a Mitzayra is like a mace. All kinds of things. This is all there in this context. And we constantly have it when we talk about the building of the Mishkan. This is to atone for the Egel. This is to change from the Egel, from the golden calf. There's something here that this is something that we have to build, that we have to create, in place of the Egel, where we were trying to create something that would contain Hashem, that we did it on our own, when Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't coming down. So we went and we made our own Egel. Now Hashem says that was creating something that was negative. You have to make your own Mishkan. You have to build something that's going to bring my presence down into the world. So as we do it, pivotal to that is to create an esh, is to create an oyer, to create an oyer that could then be indeed also the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the man-made oyer that we have to do here. Let's try to take this one step deeper. The menorah represents an aspect of Torah. We say, generally, that the menorah represents the Torah Shebal Peh, the oral Torah. The Torah itself, or the Torah Shebichsav, I should say, is represented, of course, by the Orin, the Ark, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Holy of Holies, which contained within it the Luchais, which were written in the hand of Hashem, contained within it the original Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? The Orin and its contents, that which was on it, that which was next to it, that represented the written Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu, either wrote it down for him or dictated it to him, exactly the Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu. The Menorah represents the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Yom Tov of Chanukah, which we celebrate around the Menorah, whose central miracle was the miracle of the Menorah. Again, in a way, the miracle that was very similar to the miracle of the Menorah on a daily basis of the candles remaining lit, but it was the special version of it that was the Nes of Chanukah that we mark there. That Yom Tov, the Yom Tov of Chanukah, the Gemara says, is the beginning of the Torah Shebaal Peh. We have many other miracles in Jewish history, but they were all nituli chasev. They were all written down in Tanakh. The Yom Tov of Chanukah is light. It's initially nituli chasev. It wasn't meant to be written down. I've mentioned to you, to some of you before, it goes to such an extent that even when the Torah Shebaal Peh was written down, they didn't write down about Chanukah. There's a Masechta about Pesach, and there's a volume about Purim, and there's a volume about Shabbos. But about Chanukah, there's no Mishnayos. The halachas of Chanukah, we learn from the Gemara, not from the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't discuss it. There's an allusion to Chanukah, but to Neres Chanukah in a remote, unrelated text at Bava Kama, right, about a person leaves their lights on outside and causes a fire. So that's where it speaks about Chanukah, the reasons why that's the chosen text. But it's written by many. Futner writes about others. Even when they wrote down the Torah Shebaal Peh, but because Chanukah was such a pivotal Yom Tov in terms of the inception of Torah Shebaal Peh, of miracles that now are only appearing in the oral Torah, so they didn't write it down. They kept it very much as the Torah Shebaal Peh. And when you look at the Menorah and you see the lights, the Ner Mitzvah, the Torah are, you can't read it. You can't read it like you can if you would have a chance to go into the Kodesh Kadoshim and take out the Luchas, you'd be able to read the Torah off the Luchas. You'd look at the Sefer Torah that's on the side, and you'd be able to read the Sefer Torah. But the Menorah, the light of the Menorah, you can't read it. The Torah Shebaal Peh, it's not legible. But it's something transcendent. Just like Torah Shebaal Peh. The oral Torah is not written down. It's something which is communicated, which is out there, but not visible, not in the same way. And the Menorah represents, in this sense, the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah of that period. What's the difference between the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebaal Peh? It's not just that one is written down and one is oral. The Torah Shebichsav is dictated by Hashem. Every time you open a word, you say, I'm telling you over the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Exactly, pristine, all that he did. Even, right, Sefer Dvarim is a little bit different. We say, Moshe mipi atzmei amaran. But still, it has the same identity of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu did it, and Hashem affirmed it and had him write it down as such. The Torah Shebaal Peh. The oral Torah is not that way. There's deliberately not a text. There aren't specific words. The Torah Shebaal Peh comes across in our words. Right? It's our words that are going to be expressed as a result. We talked recently in Pirkei Avos about it. We speak about the idea of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, right? And the period of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, which is where you go from the word of Hashem coming from above to, in a great sense, the word of Hashem coming from the mouths of the people. It's not as visible as the written Torah, and it also seems to have a different source. It has a different source. It comes from Hashem. Ultimately, it comes from Hashem. But Hashem puts it into us, and then we produce it. We give it out. So, what I'm trying to bring to you is that the same way we see on the literal level that the Menorah was that vehicle in the Avoda, in the constellation of the instruments of service of Hashem in the Mikdash. The Menorah was the one that we're going and taking something, that usually it's an Ar, a light which comes from above, But now, no, this is the menorah, the mitzvah is you're supposed to take it. And you're supposed to provide the light here in the Mikdash. On the deeper level, on the symbolic level of what the menorah represents as well, it's the same thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. He gave us the Torah Shebichsav. The Torah Shebichsav unambiguously is Hashem speaking to us. It's the Or, it's the light which descends min HaShemayim, which comes down from above. And at the same time, you have the Menorah, which is a different aspect of Torah, the part of Torah Shebaal Peh, where the human role in preserving it, in giving it, is so much more essential. When Shimon ben Shetach was, when Yonai HaMelech wanted to kill all the Chachamim, and he killed them all except for Shimon ben Shetach, right? He said, one second, how can we kill the Chachamim? What's going to be with the Torah? Torah Mateyola. And it was part of this period. It was the time of the Bayis Sheni where they denied the oral Torah. They said, we don't need the Chachamim. We have the Sefer Torah sitting in the corner. We have the written Torah. And what he was doing was denying the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah Shebaal Peh needs the people from which it comes. It needs the people to make it. It needs the people to not make it, but to communicate it, to say it, and to indeed to sometimes derive new things from within the Torah Shebichsav. It's the human handiwork that's going to be a part of this thing. A fascinating thing. Rashi brings it in our parsha as well. This is the way the menorah is to be made, one piece of gold, from its strong base to its delicate flowers at the top. It's one piece. Like the vision which Hashem showed Moshe, so he made the menorah. Who made the menorah? Right, so it's unclear. The pronoun is unclear. You could say, like Hashem showed Moshe, so he, Moshe, made the menorah. But on the other hand, the subject of the sentence is Hashem. Like Hashem showed Moshe, so he, with a capital H, made the menorah. So says Rashi, Medrash Hagod al Yirei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nasis Me'ela. Through Hashem, it was made on its own. Rashi brings this as well back in the building of the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu was confused. The menorah is one of the most complicated kelim to figure out exactly how it is to be made. Imagine making it out of one piece of gold to boot. So Moshe Rabbeinu was not clear. So what did Hashem do? Hashem made it for him. There's a version of it which says what happened. He threw the gold to the fire and the menorah came out. What does that remind you of? Reminds you of the egg. I don't know, reminds me of the eagle a little bit, right? The eagle, we have a similar tradition that he never made it, right? What did he do? I took all the gold, I wrapped it up, I threw it into the fire, and out pops the eagle. The eagle came out by itself. It's an interesting correlation between those two things. From our angle of the menorah, we would say that, you know, what happens is the whole menorah is a mitzvah b'halaischa. We're supposed to light the menorah. We're supposed to make the menorah. We're supposed to light the menorah. But in a certain sense, even when we make it, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's handiwork. This menorah, which is, in fact, the sign of that which we're supposed to be doing from our own, of our own, the Masa HaMenorah here, Hashem says, I always provide you with light, but now I want you to make the light. I want you to make the light, but I'm making the menorah. I'm going to tell you to make the menorah, but in a greater sense, I'm participating so significantly in giving the menorah. Whatever it is that you're building upon what I had there, what I created already. The ego, of course, is the other side of this. The ego is the negative. The egel is where we were ignoring the instruction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in some sense, what we did was the opposite. Chazal tell us, it's very familiar, that what happened was that the note
of the name of Hashem, which Moshe Rabbeinu had used in order to be able to bring Yosef out of Mitzrayim. Yosef's casket was buried in the Nilus in the Nile. Moshe Rabbeinu had to take it out of Mitzrayim, so he took the name of Hashem, he wrote it on a piece of paper, he threw it into the Nilus, and it rose up, and it came out. Micha went and retrieved it. He went and retrieved that piece of paper, and it was then used to produce the egel. Sweet little idea, it's at Alei Shor, right? Yosef should come up, he's the Shor, he's the ox, the eagle's also from the same family, whatever the specific details. But what happened was there, that there's some kind of an imposition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's participation in producing this eagle. It looks like magic. It looks like something which Hashem is doing. It looks like it's Hashem's hand. But its roots are completely in our hands. We're the ones who wanted to make the ego. We're the ones who decided that such a thing had to be constructed, that we had to change from the way it was, from the fact that we lost Moshe Rabbeinu. And we get, it gleans the appearance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's participation. By the Menorah, Moshe Rabbeinu is being given these painstaking instructions. And Hashem says, okay, do it yourself, do it yourself, do it yourself. But he can't really do it himself. Hashem is assisting. Okay, am I being clear? You understand what I'm saying? You know, it's the flip side. You'll say it's the same. Of course it's not the same. There's a similarity to it in the terms of seeing the presence of Hashem and finishing the job. But in a sense, one of them was Hashem started it. The menorah was Kasher Tziva, Kamara Asher Hera Hashem as Moshe Kein Osa Asa Menaira. Right, the simple pshat in the pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu did it exactly how Hashem showed it to him, how Hashem demonstrated to him. Vayas Kein Arin, Lahagit Shvachei Shel Amrin Shelo Shina. This was the consummate obedience, as opposed to the eagle, which was the consummate disobedience. But sometimes that also, you can somehow put into it the name of Hashem, the presence of Hashem. So, to bring together, trying to say here is that the menorah is now the actualization of the Mishkan. The Mishkan is the human building to create it to house HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you do that? HaShemayim u'shmei HaShemayim lo yichal kalucha. The heavens can't contain Hashem. That's the mystery of the Mishkan. That Shlomo HaMelech knows. You told us, you'll make me a Mikdash and I'll dwell in your midst. You'll create it and I'll come. You'll build it, and I'll come and dwell in the midst of the Mishkan. Ironic. Hashem is the master of the world. He houses everything. He's Mekayme Shalaylam. All the world is contained within Him. And we're going to build something that's going to contain Him. Like, how does that happen? But that's, again, that's the mystery of the Mishkan. Hashem is the source of all light. And we're going to light a fire for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mystery of the Mishkan distilled is in the Menorah. The beginning of the world is Hashem, Yehi Or. Hashem is in the world now, there's light. And the building of the Mishkan is where the first thing is, V'yichayelach Hashem azayisach, ba'alois chasaneres, light the Menorah, prepare the oil, you'll do it. That which is really my specialty, that which is really more than anything else, supposed to come from my hand. It's all using the tricks. It's all using HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tricks. And the Menorah, in this deeper sense that we see, represents an ongoing thing, not just when it comes to building the Mishkan, that we do it, not just when it comes to lighting the Menorah in the Mishkan, when we do it, but even this idea of the engagement in the Torah Shebichsav, that completely comes from Hashem. And at the same time, a Torah Shebaal Peh. A Torah Shebaal Peh, which has as its ultimate expression when Hashem gives the Torah down to the people, that says that the Jewish people are sitting and they're talking and learning, and voices from the heavens come and say, no, Tomei, right? And the Chachamim say, no, Hashem, we thought about it. And we decided that it's Torah.
Right? You know that story in the Gemara of the Tanur Shalach Noi? Right? Where the heavenly voice told them one way, but the Jewish people said another way. And what's the footnote? Right? So the Gemara says that he found Elio Hanavi, and he said to him, tell me, what did Hashem do when we said, we decided otherwise? Hashem was Kochayich Amar. Right, he smiled and he said, "Nitzchuni bonai, nitzchuni bonai." My children, they won. We had an argument in learning, and my children won. He gave us the Torah that we're the ones who decide what the Torah is, and that becomes the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, it's unclear. If we commandeer it and do it ourselves, it won't work. It's going to be Masa Menaira like Moshe Rabbeinu, where I don't know what to do. Rabbeinu Hashem, help me. And he put it in the fire, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps it to come out. Hashem makes it come out. The power of the person is a power which has to derive directly from the level of how much it draws upon from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that becomes the Torah Sheba'al Peh. That becomes the Torah Sheba'al Peh of the Neiros of what we're supposed to create. So after the Nasiim did their part in being Mechanech and dedicating the Mishkan, Aaron started the real life of the Mishkan. And if in the daytime HaKadosh Baruch Hu would appear, as Ibn Ezra says, that's the natural light provided by Hashem, like the period of Nevuah, of open prophecy. Chazal say during the daytime when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, Hashem taught him the Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah. During the nighttime, He taught him the Torah Sheba'al Peh, the oral Torah. The nighttime is when you have to bring the light. The nighttime is when you have to do your piece. That's the idea that I wanted to share with you. And I want to just close with one final thought on this matter. There's a medrash in the beginning of the Chumash. The medrash says in Parshas Bereishis that on the first day of creation, where it says Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, it says it five times the word Or. And God said Yehi Or, there should be light. Vayehi Or, and there was light. Vayar Elokim Es Or Ki Tov, and Hashem observed the light that it was good. Vayavdel Elokim, and Hashem separated Bein Ha'or Ubein HaChoshech, between the light and the darkness. And then Hashem called the light day. Says the Medrash, five times it says Ar. Why? Because Torah Ar. And Hashem created a Torah of five parts. Chumash, right, is from Chumash, right? Five books of the Torah. Vayikra Elokim La'ar. All those five allusions to light are allusions to the five sections of the Torah, which is the ultimate light. Ki ba'or panecha nasat alonu Hashem aleikeinu, Torah chai. That's what it says in the Medrash. So in many sources, it points out, they point out a significant thing. You see, in truth, there's an opinion in the Gemara that there weren't five books in the Chumash. There were seven. What are the seven books? Bamidbar is divided up into three. The first part of Bamidbar, until Vayhi bin Soa Ha'aron, in this week's Parsha. Then you have two psukim, about the Aron of Hashem traveling. When the Aron travels, people said, get up Hashem. When the Aron settled, they said, Shuv Hashem, settle amongst. Two psukim which are framed by two upside down, backwards nuns in the Sefer Torah. See them in the Chumashim also. And then the rest of them. So it's actually Reishis, Mais, Vayikra, Bamidbar 1, Bamidbar 2, Bamidbar 3, and Dvarim. That's the seven books of the Torah. But the Medrash we just said is going that there are five books of the Torah. But it's noting something else. Why would Bamidbar be divided up into three? Because Bamidbar really has two periods. Right? Vayhi ben Soa is sort of the signal in the middle, the switch. But Bamidbar has two periods. It's the book of Pekudim, the book of Numbers. There was the generation of Jews who left Mitzrayim, who are counted at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. You know what the nature of that generation was? That was the generation that watched Hashem do everything for them.
Hashem ilochem lochem. Hashem will fight for you. Hisyatzfu uru'es Yeshuas Hashem. Stand and watch Hashem's salvation. That was the generation that had Mamar Har Sinai, that had a face-to-face encounter with Hashem. Prophecy on the Madrega, on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the first generation. The second generation, what's described, starting with the complaints in the second part of Baal Yischa and the downhill spiral which ends with the Meraglim and Hashem saying, forget it, you guys aren't going in. And there's going to be a 40-year span where the generation changes. And then, at the end of Bamidbar and Pinchas, we count the new generation going into Eretz Yisrael. Different generation. Didn't hear from Hashem at Har Sinai. Didn't have Hashem fight for them. They would have to wage war to conquer Eretz Yisrael. They'd have a few miracles, you know, for old time's sake. But they, fundamentally, they had to fight the battles to get into Eretz Yisrael. It was different. It was like the difference between what Hashem produces and what we have to produce ourselves. That fourth book of the Torah, Bamidbar, is represented in Parshas Bereishis by the pasuk which says, "Vayavdel elekim bein oru bein achayshach." Hashem distinguished between the light and the darkness. The light and the darkness. The first generation is the light, and the second generation is the darkness. It's not really darkness. It's darkness relative to the light of the first generation. We should have the darkness of the Eichle Hamon that went into Eretz Yisrael. Relative to the first one, it was darkness relative to that, to the original light. That's the fundamental transition of Bamidbar. That's the fundamental transition of it being Eish Min HaShamayim, a fire that descends from the heavens, or Eish Min HaHedyot, or a fire which has its origination from below, but then somehow meets up with the fire from the heavens. That's the transition of Bamidbar. That's what this parsha is about. That's this parsha is, in a sense, that turning point. And Baal Yischa is the expression in the building of the Mishkan. You know, to the extent, of course, that it blurs, the lines blur. There's what we do before in the whole building of the Mishkan, whatever its place was because of the Egel, the beginnings of the problem. But Baal Yischa Saneres is where we start. You light the fire. You create the light. That light may not be as bright as the pillar of fire that was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right, or over the Kodesh HaKadoshim of Hashem. May not have been as striking and as brilliant as the fire that descended from the heavens to ignite the Korbanos on the Mizbeach. But it's still light. It's still light. It's a light that we have to create. The light that we have to create, that we have to discover. The Ha'er Einenu B'Sayim Asecha V'Davik Libeinu Mitzvei Asecha. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to enlighten us, to bring light to our eyes through His Torah. That's the wish. That's the hope. That somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu should enable us until the time when He brings His positive fire down in HaShemayim and reveals Himself clearly, that He should give us the ability of Baha'a Loischa Saneres, Torah Shebaal Peh, to be able to discover, to be able to create a light that climbs by itself, and a light that will then gain the quality of an Eish Min HaShemayim that will testify Shashchina Shoyer B'Yisrael, that Hashem's presence dwells really amongst the Jewish people, even as it takes so much of our actions and our efforts to bring it.